O God of mercy, God of might. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching. That's on page 260 and following in our worship service. This is a service we don't do a lot on Sunday mornings, mostly on Wednesday evenings, but it was the staple, music-wise, of our vacation Bible school this summer, and the kids love it. And so, hope and pray all of you do as well. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's take a moment to notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lots of visitors today. You may not know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with. Take a moment, introduce yourself. If you don't know who you're sitting by, go ahead and ask. Remember, in Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the Word made flesh, who has come to dwell among us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that he found us when we were lying, beaten, half dead along the side of the road. We thank you for his great sacrifice, not with gold or silver, with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes from Jesus and Jesus only. Heavenly Father, move us that as Christ has loved and served us, that we, in joyful response, would love and serve our neighbor. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, crucified and risen, to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, 852.
Give us
Prayer and Preaching, page 260. Please stand as you're able. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We say. The Old Testament reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. He went out to meet the army that came down to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up into heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me. and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Certain chiefs, also of the men of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, son of Mashilemah, Jehizkiah, the son of Shalom, and Amasa, the son of Haddai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who had been mentioned by name rose and took the captives. And with the spoil, they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them, and carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the introit appointed for the day. From Galatians chapter 3. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring," who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you, that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And Jesus said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Now, which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
be to God.
Common response, page 263. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place
stand for the recitation of the Catechism. We speak together God's holy law, the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess the faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are going to focus on the parable of the Good Samaritan found in our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 10. And there's a lot of good things to talk about in that parable, such as the foolish question of the lawyer, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" As though we have to do anything to inherit something. Or we could discuss the unjust acts of the priest and the Levite, the supposed holy men of God, the ones clothed in God's holy garments to take care of his people here in this earth. But yet they see the man beaten and they don't want to deal with that. They just did their duties in Jerusalem and now they want to get back home to Jericho. We're not even really going to focus too much on what the Good Samaritan actually did. Instead, we're going to focus on the promise that he made. Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. These words are astounding for a few different reasons. First of all, this man is a Samaritan, a man who is hated and despised by the Jewish people. So, if this innkeeper from Jericho was in fact a Jew, how could he believe anything that this man had to say to him? And secondly, just like you and me, this man is a sinner. How can he be expected to keep this word of promise that I'm going to go away, but I'll come back and pay everything that's due for his care? If you were going to go to the hospital knowing that you need a major surgery, and you simply told the doctor, "Do whatever you have to do, and I promise I'll pay you back when we're done," they would never do anything for you. You first have to sign every piece of scrap paper that they put in front of you, binding your name to paper, so that if you don't pay, they can come after you. As fallen sinners, our promises are easy to make. but they're also easy to break. That is not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly able to keep all of the promises for us because He is the true Good Samaritan who keeps all of the promises of God for us. Our promises often fall short. Go back, you know, a few years ago when you were in grade school and to the Christmas time season. And when you're a kid during Christmas, you get some time off school and you're really looking forward to everything that's going to happen. You're waiting eagerly for the presents that are going to be waiting for you underneath the tree. You can't wait to perform in the Christmas pageant. And you really look forward to that meal that you're going to have with all of your family after the divine service on Christmas morning. Because then, when you're a little kid, you get to play with all your cousins that maybe you haven't seen since the Christmas before. And because you have a little bit of time off school, you may think to yourself, maybe Mom and Dad will let me spend the night at one of their houses so we can have a little extra time of play before we go back to school. But what's it going to cost you? You, of course, go up to Mom and Dad and you play the game. Mom, Dad, I promise if you let me spend the night at their house, I'll keep my room clean for the whole year. Or I promise I'll take out the trash without you asking. Or I promise I'll do all the dishes without complaining about it first. And of course, they would let you go and you would have your time of fun. But when you came back home, a word of promise easily fell to the side. All the toys and the clothes that you got for Christmas are all over your room. Taking out the trash once a week proved to be a pretty difficult task. And you do the dishes, but only after you complained a good long while. Promises from the lips of sinners are easy to make, but they're also easy to break. Or we go forward a few more years and you're going through the rite of confirmation to confess before your brothers and sisters in Christ and before God in heaven that you truly believe that what happened to you in the waters of holy baptism is true. So standing before the congregation, you're asked certain questions. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins? I do. These things taken from the Apostles' Creed, which we just read together, are easy for us as Christians to say, I do believe. Because belief in the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the foundation of our faith. But if you were to open up your Lutheran service book and go through that rite of confirmation, you're asked some other things in there that are a little bit more difficult to say, I do to. You're asked, do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? And of course, you know, when you're standing in front of the congregation and, well, I don't know if we wear robes anymore in this church, but if you were in a robe, you got sweat pouring down your armpits, and you just say, I do, as quickly as possible because you want this thing to be done and over with. But if you take the time and look again at those words of what you're promising to do, to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully, you're saying that even after this few years of catechetical instruction that we've had, even after we dress up to our finest and say these things before the congregation, you still intend to come to church, to hear the Word of God, to go to Bible study and have it explained further and to dive deeper into it. And you still will desire and yearn for the forgiveness of sins which is found in the Lord's Supper. But we know too often happens confirmation is sometimes seen as nothing else than a graduation. You've done your little bit of time of instruction, and you go through everything that mom and dad say you have to go through. But then you get into high school. You start worrying about other things like boys and girls and homework and sports. You start missing a Sunday here or there. And then possibly you get the opportunity to go to college. And you almost fall off the face of the earth because you don't find another church to go to when you're away from home. Instead, you just go back to your home church when you're back on spring break or whatever else. The promises of sinners are easy to make, but they're also easy to break. One of the big ones in our society today that many of us have also engaged in is marriage. You find that certain someone that just makes your heart bubble with joy, and you think, this is the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. So you take the vows. I take you to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part. In that first year or so, in that honeymoon stage, it's just going great, you know. They still just make your heart melt every time they talk to you. But time continues to go on. Bills start piling up, start having children and more demands at work. Start finding yourself bickering all the time with this loved one that God has given to you. And you start to think to yourself, maybe I was too young when I made those vows. Maybe I didn't know what I was getting into. Maybe we should seek separation or even divorce. Our promises are easy for us to break. But that is not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen again to the words that the lawyer had to say today. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your mind and with all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, of course, said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. As sinners, we know that we are not able to do these things. We are not able to keep God's law perfectly. Because instead of being turned outside of ourselves to our fellow neighbors here in this world, and turned outside of ourselves to our Father who is in heaven, that old sinful nature daily tries to swim to the surface to pull us away from God and our fellow brothers and sisters here in this earth. And instead of looking outside ourselves, we turn in towards ourselves. What is best for me? What makes me feel good? Instead of looking at what is best for my neighbor. That is not so with Jesus. He told his disciples, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What are these things that the prophets and kings of old desired to see and to hear, but weren't able to? It was nothing less than the promises of God being fulfilled in their sight and in their hearing. The promise that God made to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, he shall crush your head and you shall bruise his heel. The promise that Satan would not always have dominion over this earth. He would someday be destroyed when God sent his anointed one, the Christ. The promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so we are through the work of Jesus Christ. All nations are blessed through him, not just the holy people of Israel, but even us, the Gentiles. Because Jesus, just like the Good Samaritan, already in Luke chapter 9, had his face set for Jerusalem. Jesus was going there knowing full well that he would soon die. But even though he knew this, just like the Good Samaritan, he did many great things on his way there. He healed the sick and the blind. He made the lame to walk again. He He casts out demons. He even raised children back from the dead to again reunite them with their parents. All the while knowing that he was soon going to depart. But he would not depart forever. He would, in fact, return and pay everything that is due for our sin. Jesus knew that he would go to Jerusalem to be handed over to the Roman soldiers, to be stripped naked, beaten to a bloody pulp, and left on the cross to die for you and for me. And in that death, he descended down into hell, not to further his torment there, but to pronounce to Satan that the promise that God made to him in Genesis chapter 3 is true. He has been defeated and no longer holds dominion over God's children here in this earth. And then he rose victoriously on that first Easter Sunday to proclaim to you and to me that the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 has also come to pass. All of us, not just the children, direct descendants of Abraham, but all of us, all nations are blessed through the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. The one who, knowing that we are not able to do anything to elevate ourselves up to God, came down in the flesh, putting himself under the burden that we have to bear and doing it perfectly to make amends for us and paying everything that was due for our sin. So now with this forgiveness of sins, it is good and God-pleasing to live a holy and sanctified life before him. Knowing that in the waters of holy baptism, that old sinful nature is drowned and died, so that a new man can arise and emerge to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So, when your children make promises, hold them accountable to it, to raise them up in the fear of the Lord. Or, you yourselves with your children, keep the promises that you made in your confirmation vows, that you will still desire to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully for the benefit of your body and your soul while here and traveling on this earth. And it is good and God-pleasing when husband and wife cling to each other and hold fast to one another to show the world around us how husband and wife love each other, just as Christ has loved his bride, the church. But if we fail to do any of these things, if we fail to keep any of these promises that we make, we know where we can flee for refuge. We can run to God's church to hear his word proclaimed and to receive his holy body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Because we believe, teach, and confess that where there is forgiveness of sin, there is also life and salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the hymn 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me.
Thank you.
name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, our Good Samaritan, who binds up our wounds and pays the cost. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who makes and keeps his promises would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Concludes with the prayers of the church, page 265 and following. Please stand as you're able. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for the family of Lorraine Momans, the grandmother of Tanya Schlaman, former member here at Good Shepherd, who passed away this week. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, especially Donna, Katie, Diane, Janet, Kurt, Janet, Nicole, Ron, Anna, Scott, Deborah, Vicar Short, Justin and Louisa, Lori, Jake, Al, Willis, Dorothy, Shay, Gary, Greg, Heath, Jeanette, Sharon, Sarah, Joyce, Julie, Lyle, Richard, Carol, Bonnie, Daryl, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the family of Sylvia Yoder and the family of Lorraine Momans, that their comfort would be in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, as we welcome and install our new pastor this afternoon, that we would be united around God's word in its truth and purity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you have promised. Make us love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Pray together. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept
me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 851, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us.
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. You're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We'll have our Sunday school opening right here in the sanctuary in about 15 minutes or so. So we got plenty of time this morning for goodies. We got one opportunity for adult Bible study today. We will conclude our study on the Book of Concord today. We're going to be looking at the Holy Trinity and especially the Athanasian Creed. Next week, we'll start a new study on the Book of Romans. We could use a little help with setting up and tearing down for the installation service, specifically for the meal that'll follow the installation service. That's at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and hope and pray that all of you are able to come back and help us celebrate as God gives his gifts to the church, and the gift we celebrate today is the gift of Pastor Moline. We had Sunday School Rally Day last week, and so if you got any questions about where the classrooms are or anything like that, be lots of people to help. When you walk down the hallway, you'll notice all the new posters up on the wall depicting the focus of the classes each and every week. That's a great teaching tool as well. So take advantage of that, a great way to pass on the faith to the kids. Vicar, good job. Good job. Now, you know, there's one problem with having a pretty good sermon your first time out.
Hard to build on it.
You set the bar pretty high. So we just expect nothing more than, no, excellent job, excellent job. Great treatment of the text as well. You've already said enough. You've already said enough. I think that's all. Please join us this afternoon, and also coffee and goodies and a study of God's Word. Have a great day and life in the promises of God.